listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to today's show, LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. I am going to move this little thing, if you're watching the video, because I want to talk about this Ultimate Life Challenge. Your Ultimate Life is something you define, and I want you to think about what that means for you. I was just having a chat a little bit ago with some people about what that really means. What is really the yearning that we have and how that changes over time? I was talking with Sam, who's the station owner here, just a few minutes ago, and then someone else earlier today about what's really important. Now, that changes over time. When I was in my teens, I couldn't wait to get a driver's license or go on dates. And, you know, those things that were right now, right, fulfilling for the moment. And then as I got in my 20s and started up the career path and trying to claw my way up corporate coolness, it was all about position and money and how many people reported to me and, you know, all that good stuff. And now, you know, I'll be 68 in December, and it isn't a function of, gee, I'm an old man now. Although some people could think that, what it really is a function of is discovering what lasts. Because when people get to the end of life, or they're facing that possibility, even if someone gets a diagnosis of something severe, whether it's financial or health-wise or otherwise, they don't think about those material things that are right there in front of you anymore. We stop thinking about that. We think about the conversations we didn't have, the relationships we didn't repair, the opportunities we missed to love and to serve. So today what I want to talk about is going all in, because you don't know, and neither do I, when your last day is. And I'm not a doomsday sayer, and I'm not a person that says, you know, tomorrow's going to end the world. It could. Who knows? You know, the asteroid might strike or whatever. But what I know for sure is you, right here, right now, have a list of things you want to do. I know you have it. Some of them are related to cash. I need to have more money so I can buy a different car, have a different house, go on different vacations. Great. There's nothing wrong with those. But what I can promise you is those things don't fill the need in your soul for happiness and satisfaction. How do I know that? Well, I've been down that road. Well, if I get another $100,000 bonus, I can buy this. I can get that timeshare. I can buy that boat. I've been down that road. And you know what happens? You get it. And it's like, oh, wow, that was fun. Next. And pretty soon, that third or fourth or fifth car, it just sits there in the driveway or the garage, and then you forget about it. And there's a next thing you're looking for. And here's the reason. It's not a mystery. The reason is because I was, you might be, looking for something outside to make you happy, to fill the yearning of meaning. We all have a yearning to matter. Now, I'm using this background today of someone looking out over a vast landscape, and there's a picture of a, you know, a big mountain in the distance, and it looks to me, I don't know, I had AI generate art for me, one of those AI art places, and I've got thousands of cool pictures that I picked to use on backgrounds here and there. But here's the thing. This guy's setting out on an adventure. He's going to go new places and do new things. And the desire is to create memories, to create experience. But the most important thing for us to create is connection. If someone goes on a trip and discovers a new mountain or a new valley or a hidden treasure, the power comes in sharing the story, writing about the journey, describing the perils, and letting everyone else learn from, enjoy, lean into the process. That is what really matters. Not the fact that I have or you have a certain amount of money or possessions or things. So what I want you to focus on today as we talk is, what does it mean to go all in? Like someone that's taking off on an adventure like this guy, he's left everything else behind. I'm making a story up about this picture. But the idea is, okay, we're going to go on this journey. And it could be full of dangers. It could be full of unexpected events. Could be full of surprises. And very likely it's full of danger and full of maybe some difficult things. And maybe someone falls down and gets injured. And you have to deal with all that stuff. Sounds a lot like life, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like life. So here's what I know from my own experience and from lots of others that I work with. Now, those of you that have watched very many episodes of this know that I'm a coach. What the heck is a coach? Well, people define it a lot of ways, but the simplest thing, a coach is a person who helps, assists, motivates, holds people accountable, someone who wants to do something. So an athletic coach is a person who, working with a team, puts the right players in at the right places, calls shots, you know, has an overall picture and helps the team be their best. I have a vocal coach. A vocal coach could be a lot of things, but in this particular case, I've been working for years. And the work that I've been doing is vocal performance, expressiveness, vocal range, breathing, all of those kinds of things that go into outstanding vocal performance, both for speaking and for singing. And I love this guy, and I've been working with him for many years. And the results have been really good, and I'm happy with that. I would not have achieved the results that I have in my ability to speak or sing if I had not been working with this coach who has been watching, listening, giving me ideas and speaking and telling me what to do, suggesting, practice this, practice that, do this, do that, et cetera, et cetera. And giving me the kind of encouragement when I say things like, well, I don't know, is it possible that I'll never be able to do, you know, something? I write music, and so some of the music I've written is challenging to sing, to perform. And when I come to the coach and say, oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. Is it possible that I'll just never be able to do that? The answer is always, yeah, you'll get there. Don't worry about it. And then we go to work on the things that start where I am now, not being frustrated about where I'm wanting to go but aren't quite there yet. So coaching, it is the people encouragement business. It is seeing a vision. It is holding a vision for someone else. It's believing in someone sometimes when they don't believe in themselves. You see that in all the stories and movies on TV, right? Athletic coaches that motivate their teams at halftime. You've seen all the movies. Well, I love that because I get to do the same thing. Now, last week, I was gone on vacation for a week. We took a trip over to Vancouver Island, which we're planning on moving to next summer. But we took a trip and spent several days over there at an Airbnb and beautiful house we stayed at, and it was a lot of fun. And our trip over was full of interesting things, detours. Our trip back, it's a two-day drive over, plus a ferry ride and a two-day drive back, plus a long ferry ride across from Vancouver over to the island. And you know what? We encountered obstacles and delays that derailed plans, and it rained some days that we didn't expect it to. And so instead of having that be a struggle, because we were all in on the vacation, we turned all that into fun. So now we have basically a week and a half's worth of memories and excitement that we created, regardless of the external circumstances. So all of this is leading up to a question for you. This show is called Your Ultimate Life. Now, I don't know how you define that. Often when I ask people, well, what do you want your life to look like? People don't usually think about it. Have you actually thought about what you want your life to look like? People say, well, I want a lot of money. It doesn't mean anything. What does that let you do? Well, I want freedom. To do what? Like, let's get to the specifics. If I tell you, I'll give you an example from me, and then you can think about it for yourself. My ultimate life is living a life of purpose, and my purpose is to help you, my listeners here, listeners on my podcast, my coaching clients, to live into your most powerful, liberated, joyful self, to create the purpose for your own life, to create prosperity, which is enough of everything, and abundance, not only in cash, but in relationships, and deep, meaningful joy, satisfaction, contentment. Now, I lived a very difficult path to get where I am now. Difficult for me. I know everybody's got the hardest life journey there ever was, and we all kind of think that. And that's probably true. Designed, tailor-made to be hard for us. So coming through all that, I have now learned to love every day, every minute. Like, literally, I love every minute of my day. Am I nuts? Don't things go wrong for Kellen? Well, of course they do. They go crazy wrong. But really, I just learned to love what is and ask a really interesting question. Ah, this just happened. That's not what I planned. What can I create from this? So my question back to it is, are you living the life you want today? Everything from the job you have, everything from the relationship you have, everything from your health, is it as you wish it to be? Now, you may say yes. 99% of people that I get an opportunity to talk to say, well, mostly but, and then they have a list of buts that are actually turns out to be quite long. Oh. And then the question is, okay, what are you doing with what you have? Because it is one approach to look at the list of things that are not as you wish and complain or feel resentful or resign yourself. Well, I guess that's how it is. And it's another, and I'm going to say this really slow because I'd just like you to think about it. It's quite another thing to say, you know, this is how my bank account is right now. What can I create with that? Instead of, oh, if I just had some more money. Oh, if those bills just weren't due. The things around us are what they are. Rain clouds, bank accounts, weather, economy, elections, politics. All that stuff, it is what it is. And all the energy that you or I spend bitching about that doesn't change much. What does change things is two things. Taking the action we can with respect to the externalities, vote or participate in community things, or, you know, take the action that we're allowed to take or that is within our purview to take. And the other thing is examine our attitude. I have discovered for myself, life is wonderful every day because I said so. And I love it. And that means I spend 0 minutes complaining about anything. And consequently, here's what I've discovered. I am more creative. I think of more solutions. I see more opportunity. More people call me and say, will you speak on my summit? Will you, and those are some of the things that I do as a coach, right? Will you do this? So I get more opportunities. I don't know. It just shows up that way because I choose to love every minute. So I talked to start with about going all in, and this is one example of that. So I made a list here of things that I wanted to cover today that are different versions of going all in. And I want you to, if you're willing to play with me here, to answer these questions for yourself. One phrase that we use is lay it on the line. Lay it on the line, right? What does that mean? Answer. What does it mean to lay it on the line? We have an innate fear of being embarrassed, of doing it wrong, of basically of getting hurt. Now, when you're talking about, you know, trying to ski some extreme double black slope, you might actually get hurt if you're not, you know, up to that speed and you're not ready to do that. Okay. Most of the things we try aren't going to physically hurt us, but we're still afraid of getting hurt. What is that hurt? Well, that hurt might be embarrassed. That hurt might be failing and therefore confirming our idea that we won't get there. It's like this dude saying, well, I'll never make it to that mountain over there, so I'm not even going to start. I can't get up there. It's too steep. I can see it from here. And so he quits. And what happens is he doesn't see all the beautiful valleys in between and discover that on the backside there was another way up and all the rest. So laying it on the line is one euphemism, one phrase that we have to do all in without any reservation what it occurs to you to do. Now, because I was gone last week, I had a really busy coaching schedule today. But you know what? There were several conversations in which this idea of laying it on the line or going for broke or going all in came up. It's interesting how often we get in our own way. I know that is such a cliche phrase. Oh, I got in my own way. What we really mean in the coaching universe when we say that is we talked ourselves out of it. So I remember as a kid going to Lake Berryessa, which is a lake in California near Fairfield and Vacaville. If you're familiar with the Interstate 80 from San Francisco up to Sacramento, halfway in between a couple of towns, Fairfield and Vacaville, Lake Berryessa is up in the mountains there. And there was a particular place where you could, right near the dam that creates Lake Berryessa, and there was a line of buoys that would go across that lake, and you weren't supposed to either boat or swim past those buoys toward the dam because, you know, there was danger there, and there's an outlet, and, you know, could be trouble. So what I used to do with some friends is we would get, jump in the lake, go park, and jump up in the lake and swim across the lake where those buoys were, on the safe side. But across the lake from the roadside, there was a set of cliffs. And you could climb up those cliffs. And because it was quite near, you know, the dam, the slope was quite steep. So the cliffs stuck out far enough that you could jump off quite a high cliff, right? And into the water, and the water was plenty deep. So there was no risk of smashing your head in or anything like that. I remember the first time, and there were two layers of it. There was a lower cliff and a higher cliff. Getting up there and, you know, climbing up. And from the bottom, it looked like, well, you know, that's not that bad, 30 or 40 feet up or something. So that was the lower one. So I got up there, and I remember looking at the lower one. And when I got up on top, it was terrifying. From below, it didn't look like that much. But from above, yeah, that's quite a different thing. And so gathering courage, right, to go all in, to lay it on the line. Now, I wasn't going to be a cliff diver and try to dive. I probably would have exploded myself. But at least I was going to jump, right? And it took me, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes to get the courage up to do it the first time. And then, you know, I did. And then after a while, and I went up to the higher one, which was quite a bit higher. And I had the same dance all over again. Holy moly, that water looks like glass. Are we sure it hasn't turned solid down there? I'm going to blow my brains out. And eventually I was able to do that. But the feeling of looking at a thing, deciding that it's scary or difficult, and then saying, you know what, I'm going to do this anyway, just because I said so. Like, there wasn't a big crowd there. There were four of us, right? Just some friends. And maybe we were trying to prove something a little to each other. I really don't remember that part of it. What I do remember is the feeling I had, the fearsome feeling, and then getting the courage up to make the jump. And so going all in your life is a little bit like that. Maybe you have a story to tell. Most of the people that I talk to in the context of I network a lot, and I do that on purpose. And in fact, I'd like to network with you. I'd like to get to know you. So if anyone watching today would like to have a conversation, I'd love to get to know you. Reach out on one of the social media and let's talk. But anyway, in the context or in the process of networking, I always ask people what they're up to. Tell me about your life. I like to learn people. I love people. I love them. I love to get to hear all the histories and stories and all the things that have made people who they are. And here's what I've discovered. Number one, every person really and truly is unique. I don't mean a little, I mean a lot. Now, if you want to do the math, you can easily prove that. The number of DNA combinations is infinite. The number of experiences that you might have had is completely different. The things you've gone and learned, like if you put that math together, your uniqueness is mathematically demonstrable, okay? But besides that, every person really is gloriously and powerfully unique. So that's one thing I've learned. Another thing I've learned is that every person that I've talked to, because of that uniqueness, has a perspective, a story, or some information and value that would be, that is needed by someone or some group of people. So, for example, I have a client who I love all my clients. I have a client who had a set of experiences that makes her heart yearn to help young girls with their self-esteem. So she went through a set of experiences in her life that with her self-esteem, you know, in 11, 12, 13, 14, that age, where that, you know, her heart is called to do things to help that group of girls. She's uniquely qualified. It's beautiful. Her stories are great. And so she feels called to do that. Every person that I talk to has some yearning, some, like, they just want to do something for some group of people. I know without even seeing you or talking to you that you do also. So here's the question. When people feel that, when you feel that, immediately what rushes in is this idea that, number one, well, what I have to say isn't that big of a deal. So what? That's one thing that comes in. Another thing that comes in is, well, maybe I have something, but I don't know how to share it. I don't really know what to do with it. Another thing that comes in is, even if I did, nobody would listen. And there are several other variations. All of those are getting in our own way. Because you don't know who needs your help, who needs to hear your story. You don't know who would really resonate with your experience and the fact that you got through it and here you are. Like this, this woman today is very successful and she's done a lot of really amazing things, but she has this story, this set of stories that is really valuable. And is really a good source of inspiration, encouragement, and so forth for the group that she wants to talk to. Excuse me. So when you think about going all in, I want you to think with me right now of something where you have gone all in, where you essentially, like in my story, jumped off the rock. Okay? Because, you know, when you climb up there on the rock and you jump off, like, there's no going back. You can't do a rewind, right? There's no run the video clip back. Whoop! Back up on the cliff. Can't do that. Once you jump, you're committed. Okay? I had a client who went to New Zealand and did one of the bungee jumps there. And the same thing. He described getting up there and, you know, looking down. And in New Zealand has, I think, the highest bungee jump thing in the world. But anyway, he was doing one of them and he described the whole thing, the fear and everything else. And then finally, you know, getting the courage up to do the jump. And once you go, you're completely committed. The thing about sharing your life, your story, your journey, your, you know, the gifts that you have to give, that's different than a bungee jump is you have 1,000 off ramps. Well, I'll just think about it some more. Well, I don't know. I'm not feeling it today. I don't know. I wanted to write that book. But, you know, someday I don't really have time. And so we give ourselves 1,000 off ramps. You know what that is? That's getting in your own way. It's making up reasons why what you have isn't valuable, why you can't figure out how to do it, and why it won't matter anyway. None of those things are true. I've been in this coaching and self-development business now for about 15 years. And that follows a 30-year career that I had where I did the whole typical corporate climbing and got high positions and made a lot of money and all that stuff. But that wasn't fulfilling. And in the 15 years now I've spent in the personal development realm after leaving that career entirely, it is more fun. It is more fulfilling. And I know that what I'm doing makes a difference in the world. Not to everybody, not to every person, not even close, but to those who resonate with my stories, my situations, perhaps my upbringing, the history. There are different ways to do this. Now, we use the word in personal development, resonate. That's a buzzword, a cliche buzzword. So let me tell you a story about resonance. Up in the Seattle, Tacoma area, you know what resonance is? Resonance is, you know, like a tuning fork. Somebody hits a tuning fork, you know, and it makes that sound because that's where those forks, they vibrate at a certain frequency. And if they're longer and you have longer forks, they vibrate at a lower frequency and shorter ones vibrate at a higher frequency. So here's what resonance is. If I ding the tuning fork and it's buzzing, and I hold something else near it that has a resonant frequency near that one that's of the tuning fork, then this other object will also start to vibrate. In other words, this vibration goes through the air and will affect this one. Wow, how interesting. So when you say one person's story resonates with someone else, that's what that means. It means that you tell a story, I recognize elements in that story. Ooh, that sounds like this and that from my history or my, and so my soul, my mind, my spirit, I begin to resonate or connect with you. So there's a story about a bridge in the Seattle area, and it went over a certain piece of body of water. Obviously, that's what bridges do. And they called the bridge Galloping Gertie, G-E-R-T-I-E. You should look it up, Galloping Gertie. And when the wind blew a certain way across that channel, it created a resonant frequency that was the same as the bridge. And so the bridge started vibrating, and eventually it failed because no one understood at that time the fact that this wind blowing a certain way would cause this resonance to happen. And so it was so powerful that it actually damaged the structure. And that was many years ago. But that happened. And so that is an example, a physics example of what resonance is and how one thing can resonate and affect another in a very, very substantial way. Why did I tell stories about physics and bridges? It's to let you understand that your story, your truth, your experience has a certain value and creates resonance in certain people. So the courage to go all in and use your life experience is, truthfully, it's the most valuable thing you can do in the world. And that might sound like a bold claim to you. You might think, well, I'm great at my engineering job. Okay, I'm not questioning that. But what I am claiming without hesitation is that your most valuable contribution would be to share the truth of your life journey and growth. Now, that makes a couple of assumptions. The assumptions that it makes is that you have whatever struggles you have and you continue. You get to the other side. The story of people who quit, nobody tells those stories. They're not very interesting. The story, your story that matters, that's valuable, that's actually worth lives and millions, is your story of success. The story of when you decided to, wherever you started, how, what you decided to change, that go all in piece, the bungee jump. I'm going to change this no matter what, whether it's a story of creating a business, whether it's a story of overcoming some kind of struggle or hardship. Those things are your most valuable commodity. They're worth more to me. They're worth more to the world than anything else you could create or contribute. So sometimes I wrote, like I said, I wrote a bunch of synonyms of going all in. Another way we say that is put yourself out there. Well, it used to be really hard to put yourself out there in any big way because we were limited geographically. Today, with the internet, social media, the fact that we're streaming this live, I'm streaming it to YouTube and Facebook, and you're watching this on LA Talk Radio. The fact that we can do this means that you can put yourself out there in ways that you never could just a few years ago. Utterly impossible. Today, here's what that means. You have the ability to embarrass yourself to a larger audience. Yep. You have the ability to affect, in a good way, a larger audience. You have the ability to reach people that you would not have been able to reach before just because of the reach of the medium. Now, here's what I want to assure you. No matter how much you believe you don't have something valuable, that putting yourself out there doesn't matter, that's not true. It does matter. It matters for you having the courage to do it, and it matters for those you might help. You know what else I can tell you for sure is you're going to flop. And I can also tell you you're going to win. Just ask someone like Shaun White. Shaun White used to be the world champion halfpipe person. Now, I happened to meet Shaun White several years ago before he was the world champion. I took a Grand Prix racing school at the Bondurant Speedway in Phoenix, a four-day Grand Prix racing school. I had a hot rod, and I wanted to learn how to drive, you know, really drive. So we did 4 days of hot rod racing around a track and all kinds of stuff, drifting and how to drive fast, right? And I did that, and it so happened, I didn't know this, but Shaun White was in that class. And so he was there with an entourage of people because he was already famous but not yet the world champion. So I got a chance to meet him, and then over the next years, you know, they called him Flying Tomato because he used to have really, really long, bright red hair, and I loved it because I used to have red hair. Right now it's all white and mostly gone, but I used to have bright red hair, so I loved the Flying Tomato anyway. But I watched a documentary in between one of the Olympic appearances that he had, and it showed his workout place where he did his half-pipe work. And his half-pipe work, he had a great big pit in the half-pipe full of foam, so he could try these incredible tricks and fall down and not die. And over and over and over again, failure, not quite right, almost. Ooh, landed one, failure. Oh, landed one, failure. Try a new trick, add another twist, add another 180 to the whatever. And I'm not an expert snowboarder. I know how to snowboard, but nothing like that. And over and over again. Now, and then that's just the practice. And then in real life, at the Olympics, at the World Championships, putting yourself out there all the way. Now, most of us are not going to be Olympic competitors. Some, but most of us don't do that. So most of us are never going to put ourselves out there on a world stage at that level. Yet we fail to put ourselves out there in the small stages that we can because we're afraid of failure, of humiliation, of getting hurt. Now, in his case, you know, it's physical, so hence all the foam. But most of the fear is fear of embarrassment, fear of not being valued, fear of ridicule, fear of that sort of thing. So I wanted to talk today about this idea of going all in. Some of the other things I wrote down are it requires This going all in requires a willingness to be vulnerable. Now, as a speaker, and I speak in a lot of conferences, I have three or four in the next few weeks that I'm speaking at. What I've learned is that if I talk about something over there, that's easy. I can teach you how to do music. I own a recording studio. So I can teach you how to compose music. I can teach you about arrangements. I can teach you about drum patterns and how to use drum programming and synths and bass lines. I can teach that. And it isn't very threatening to me because, you know, I'm just doing that thing over there. It's like when I was an executive. I ran large, you know, divisions of companies and so forth. A lot of people reported to me, et cetera. But that was about a thing over there. And so it wasn't very personally vulnerable. When you choose to offer your greatest gift, which is your life experience, your willingness to love and serve and help some group of people based on the things you've learned, that requires vulnerability. So living all in. I have a client, her favorite phrase is live full out. So going all in, live full out, lay it on the line, leave it all on the field. All of those things are phrases that mean take the risk. Be vulnerable. What's the worst thing that can happen? Everybody can laugh at you. And the answer is, so what? So what? What if they do? You're not going to die. No one has ever died from embarrassment. I have a story about that. I was going to give a speech at a large industry conference. And this was after I'd left the industry in 2007, the end of 2007, 2008. It was about 2 years later. I think it was 2009 or 10. I got invited to be a keynote speaker at a prestigious conference. I was going to talk about industry stuff and everything else. But during my 30 years as an executive, I had a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. So I had I struggled with depression. I'd had some addiction issues. I'd had some failed relationships. The battlefield behind me was pretty ugly and pretty rowdy. And I had kept that mostly hidden during the years I was in those positions. But there were people who knew some of the stories and some of the gruesome details and all that stuff. So I was scared to go back and give this keynote address, even though I'd been asked to come do it, that people were going to, something bad would happen. You know, that fear of exposure, of ridicule, et cetera, et cetera. And I was working with a coach at the time, which I love coaching and I recommend it highly if you're trying to achieve your best self. If you're satisfied where you are, forget coaching. But if you really want to live your ultimate life and do everything you can do, then get a coach. Get somebody who cares, who loves you, who wants to help you. Okay, anyway, so I was going to give this talk and I was scared to death. And my coach asked me, literally, I was losing sleep. And I wasn't worried about public speaking. I'd been on stage a bunch of times and as an executive done keynotes at conferences around the world, literally in Europe and Mexico and U.S. and Canada and lots of places. So I was an experienced speaker, but that wasn't it. I was afraid of embarrassment and skeletons and all that kind of stuff. So I was talking to my coach and I told him what was going on and he said, okay, cool. So what's the worst thing that can happen to you? And I thought about it, and I took the question quite literally, and I said, well, I could get up on stage, and I didn't say something like, I forget what I'm going to say, and I'll look stupid, because that wasn't my fear. I said, well, people can start heckling me and you know, jeering vocally, and they could throw things, throw food from lunch or snacks or throw tomatoes or whatever. And so he went with me and we played and talked about it. And basically I summed it all up by saying, well, they could chase me off the stage with pitchforks and torches. And I was, you know, a la French Revolution, right? And he said, okay, let's say they do that. You get up, you get partway into your talk and they jeer you and chase you off stage with pitchforks and torches. What are you going to do? And I said, well, I'll get out of there and go back to my hotel and And he said, you know, is the sun going to come up in the morning? Yeah, yeah. So we talked through, and at the end we realized nothing really was going to happen. I wasn't going to die. Maybe I wouldn't go back and speak at industry conferences again, but I would go on with life. That exercise made me realize nothing really was going to happen. Now, the end of the story is, it turns out there were two or three people who intended to embarrass me, and they published a YouTube video trying to be an expose, right? And trying to make things look bad for me. I had no business speaking and a bunch of stuff like that. And that even, you know, they tried to do that. And so I took some measures against that, whatever. But as I gave the speech, I got a standing ovation. It turned out well, et cetera, and I was invited back for another year. So my worst fear turned into nothing. But what helped me get through it was getting some help, talking it through, and realizing that I wasn't going to die of embarrassment no matter what happened. So that's a personal example of being willing to be vulnerable and talk. And it wasn't talking about coaching or personal development. This was an industry topic. But I had personal demons that I was terrified of. All right. The last thing I want to talk with you today about is this thing on the screen, Ultimate Life Challenge. I have committed to help this year 50 million people. My year ends in 5 weeks, October 14th. Next year, I'm going to set a new goal. Part of the effort that I offer is this Ultimate Life Challenge. This is a place where it's safe to come and explore what you really want to do. Have you ever sat and asked yourself what you really want to be doing every day when you get up? Besides shower and get dressed? Like, what do you want your day to be full of? I have, and I've helped lots of folks do that, and the answers are thrilling and exciting. I have a client who helps, as I mentioned, those young girls. I have another client who's running a very successful business and is mentoring a lot of people. I have another client who has a whole program helping a certain group of people learn to get online and create income with their skills in the freelance world. I have another client who starts nonprofits and helps people realize their nonprofit dreams so they can add good to the world. I have another client who is a seminar leader and does a fabulous job leading seminars and teaching people about everything from leadership to gamification to all kinds of stuff. And so my ultimate life is living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, helping you discover your gifts and using them. What is your ultimate life? Do you know? Do you know in detail? Because usually when I ask people, it's like, I need a boatload of cash so I can do whatever I want. That doesn't last very long. You might have the cash and be able to do whatever you want, and I can tell you it's not very fulfilling until it's tied to some purpose. Tied to some purpose that comes out of your heart and soul. So in this Ultimate Life Challenge, and this is just an offering that I have, but whether you use this one or some other one, give in to the yearning. Lay it on the line. It's time to quit half-stepping. Quit settling for mediocrity. Because it doesn't feel very good for very long. It's not even safe. Safe emotionally. Go all in. Lay it on the line. In the Ultimate Life Challenge, what we're going to do is we're going to explore three things. One, we're going to explore the natural gifts that you have. What things are there that you're just really good at? The second thing is, what is the life experience that you have had and what has it taught you? What has your life experience helped you learn? Like I mentioned earlier, I had a conversation, two of them today, about the fact that as years go by, what we think is important changes. When I was in my 20s and 30s and even 40s, what was important was cash and position. That was an empty chase, an empty and hollow vessel. I achieved it. I won that game. And at the end, and the score was whatever it was not happiness. There was always what else? This isn't happy. And the reason is because I wasn't doing something that mattered, that lifted and blessed the souls of people around me. I wasn't doing something that really made a difference in the world, even though I made, you know, lots of money and all the rest of the external markers. So, number one, we're going to figure out the gifts that you have. Number two, and most importantly, is what experiences have you had in life? What have they taught you? How have they shaped and molded who you are? Sometimes they make us bitter and angry. They got all the breaks, I got screwed. That old song by Jerry Reed, you know, she got the gold mine, I got the shaft. Okay, but your life experience has taught you something, and you can use it to create a fulfilling life. The third thing is you have a set of existing skills. Maybe you're a radio broadcaster. Maybe you deliver pizza. Maybe you own a business. Maybe you're an architect. When you make a choice to combine those three things, your natural gifts, your life experience, and your existing skills, that right there is your most powerful offering that will help you make the most money and have the most fun and have the biggest impact in the world. Now, I personally can't think of anything more fabulous than having the most fun, making the most money, and having the biggest impact in the world. I can't think of anything more fun than that. So I want to invite you to play your life all in. Every day, not just someday. Someday I'll try that. Someday is now. The only minute you ever have is this one. So let's do something with it. Now, my invitation to you is I'd love to help you do that. I've walked these paths and learned all this, mostly the hard way, but I have gotten really good help. And now that makes me want to offer that, to encourage you to go all in, whether it's repairing a relationship or multiple relationships, whether it's reestablishing your own worth, whether it's writing that book you feel like you ought to write, or creating a little course, maybe about gardening, maybe about living off the land, maybe about some other personal challenge. I can't even tell you the number of stories that I've heard in completely different areas. I'm astounded by the uniqueness of everyone. And I'd love to be astounded by your story. So I invite you to have the courage to be vulnerable, to share with me and with everyone what you've learned and who you are. And I can promise you, and this is a sacred promise, that developing the courage to do that, to look inside at what you've learned, decide how you can share it, and what you could do to benefit others, to give that away. And yes, that, of course, means turning it into a business if you want to. And most people do. Most people want to monetize their stories. Well, I'm giving a talk on that in just a few weeks. One of the talks I said I have is about exactly that, how to identify your key story and superpower and how to turn that into a product and service so you can serve those who are just aching. As you think about that, you might feel like you're this guy here on the beginning of a journey to a far-off mountain. Well, you know what? He'll make it. He's got a compass. He's got guides. He's got some maps. And regardless of the valleys and the challenges and the terrain in between, he's going to get there. And he's going to have an amazing story to tell also. And I can tell you for sure, you have an amazing story. You are a valuable, powerful person. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what has happened before. None of that matters. What matters is having the courage to examine your own life, your own learnings, to choose to be vulnerable and express yourselves, to go all in with your life. We only get one shot. Each moment, one shot. And then that moment's gone. My learning is to make the most of it. Every one of them, one after the other, not just once in a while, but every day. Just because you can. Just because you are a superhero, waiting to be seen, to be heard, and to serve. And I can tell you, from my own experience and that of clients, if you do that, if you have the courage, you can create and live every day your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.